So let's continue in prayer for this portion that I'm going to bring. By faith, Father, we bow in your presence and just again thank you for your love for us and your word, which is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. And Lord Jesus, tonight as we continue to just draw near to you so you can draw near to us for your anointing. For your anointing to hear what your spirit is saying to us as a church, individually, corporately, that we may be fed, that we may drink, Father, from the waters of refreshing, from the fountain. Lord, you are that fountain. And Lord Jesus, we come thirsty. And we pray. And I ask for the anointing to just bring forth your heart from what you've shared with me, God, by your spirit. For an impartation of life through your spirit in this presentation as we continue. In this series, in this venture in healing, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm just going to, if you've been following on the months that I've been scheduled, I started a series on a website entitled, based on Psalm 107, verse 20, they cry out to the Lord in their destruction, their diseases, their distresses. There's a number of things in Psalm 107, but verse 20 in particular says they cried out to the Lord, and he sent his word to heal them. We have a number of people, intercessors, that are praying and seeking God in this doctrine of healing and in the nature of God. And I'm believing God for the manifestation of an increase of his movement to heal supernaturally, miraculously. And I'm really looking forward. I'm absolutely convinced that we're being prepared for a season. I want to quickly reference, I went back in the initial startup of this series and had Bob Dobbs dig in and get the message that Pastor Stevens preached years ago called Corporate Pentecost. And in that message, he did a whole host of series on that title. And one of the things he did is spoke prophetically on with relationship to the Joel 2 revival and prophecy and what we would see in our experiential activity as a church and the ministry, not only in the greater grace, but throughout the world, as the time of Jesus' return and the rapture would come. And he said that during that time that we would see manifestations of miraculous healings tied with the outreach and revival that would take place as well. And it just confirmed to me what the Holy Spirit had been leading me in terms of belief and teaching. And so tonight I'm going to, as I ventured into this and sought it and actually, I believe, responded in obedience to the Holy Spirit, it's just opened up a whole realm of tremendous revelation. And it's a very deep subject, and it can't be even really touched on in a few services, and that's why I'm doing a series. But I want to, as I go forward in what I'm going to share tonight, I'm going to share some things that I've been learning and receiving as fresh revelation, some of it brand new, some of it just refreshed from years ago, about things I've been teaching, meditating on, and teaching in the Wednesday study and Wednesday afternoon. So if you can join us there, you can partake in part of that. I hope you're a note taker, because I'm really filled, overflowing. I've said this before. Filled, overflowing. I feel like Pastor Stephen says you need to go into the pulpit pregnant and ready to give birth. And that's what I feel like, I think. I'm not a woman, but spiritually speaking. And as I speak tonight, I just want to put out there, hope you're a note taker, because I'm going to say some things and just touch on the outline of revelation that I've been thinking on and meditating and teaching. And I want to, first of all, do this. Really, take this as fresh from God, please. I say a number of people, many are interceding. I'm praying in the Spirit that the body catches this vision and the emphasis of what God desires to do through the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been praying for Bill Fitch for years. We're praying for Paul Moore. We're praying for, I'm thinking of the DePisa son with autism. There's a number of people in the body that I just have a vision of seeing the day that will come when we say to Bill Fitch and Paul Moore with authority, stand up and walk, and they will. I'm believing God for that, okay? And I'm just excited about it. And I've been cultivating within my spirit this ability of grace and who we are in Christ. John 14:12, Jesus said to his disciples, and in turn to us, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the things that you've seen me do, you shall do also. Yea, and greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I and the Father shall return and manifest ourselves unto you." And to me, that is a challenge that the Lord Jesus expects us, for him to use us to do great things. Because in 1 John 4:17, as he is in the world, we are. Okay, if you take a look at that on your own, just study it out. God uses us, works through us, to manifest what he wants to have manifest by his Spirit. So having said that, I want to touch on an aspect of consideration for healing and the importance of our speaking, and bring out something that I learned recently that was brand new and fresh to me, and I think you'll find it very interesting. And it goes along with the idea of us speaking into existence what the will of God is, as we seek God and learn what his will is and begin to pray and intercede. The process, as I understand it, goes from asking and seeking and knocking to learning and discerning what the will of God is, and then literally praying it into existence through our prayers, through our faith that's produced from hearing the Word of God. And it's this. Here's the correlation of scriptures that you can study as I go into this and touch on this doctrine. John 6:63, Jesus said that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And if you look at it and study it in the original Greek and in the fullness of what's context, literally he's saying there that the words that he speaks, the words that we speak, the word of God, literally produces life. And tie that with Proverbs 18:22. It could be 22:18. My diabetes, a lot of times I just confuse the invert the scriptures. But Proverbs 18:22 says that there is life. There's the power of life and death in words. The power of life and death in words. The power of life and death in words. And then go back to Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning. You open up and you see the story of creation in the first 7 days. And what does it say there? It says, God said, let there be light. God said, let us make man in our image. God said. And then jump back to the New Testament as it comes to healing and praying and believing God for miracles and what he's desiring to manifest. In Mark 11:23, you have that passage where Jesus has cursed the fig tree the day before or the night before. And then his disciples, as they're traveling back through the area, they see the withered up fig tree and they say, Master, the fig tree. What did Jesus do? He spoke to the fig tree. And he turns to his disciples and he says, whosoever shall say, whosoever, this is to the entire body of Christ, whosoever shall say to this mountain, believing in their hearts and not doubting, be removed, the mountain shall be raised up and cast into the sea by the faith in what you speak. And the key emphasis of what I'm saying is, whosoever shall say. Now, having said all this and considering these scriptures, okay, I want to bring out a scientific revelation that has recently come on the forefront of the horizon from the secular community. And I've checked this out. I got this from one of the healing ministries in their teaching. And then I had it checked out. I talked to a couple guys, including Bob Dobbs and another person in the ministry here, and had it checked out. But years ago, I watched this documentary, and it was one of those educational documentaries. And they were telling how science in the study of what we're made of, and in the search for the source and the essence of life, and in particular, searching for and trying to prove the Big Bang Theory, okay, they got funding and they built this this machine, and I think it's in New Zealand, in Northern Europe. Don't quote me on the specifics, because I just want to get a point out. And what it is they dug this tunnel that's 600 feet below the earth, and it's 17 miles long in a circle. And in its tunnel, they built this tube, and the tube is energized by electronic fields. And what they've been doing is they've been accelerating atoms and smashing them into each other and then studying what the result is. And what they've been trying to find out, first of all, in the initial stages of the study, is they're trying to find out, is there anything smaller that makes up the atom? Because up until recently, it was believed that the atom was the smallest building block of creation. And if you follow the pattern, I'm not a scientist, okay, but I just want to bring out a point that I believe that you'll find fascinating and intriguing if you've never heard it before. And it'll enhance your prayer life and your understanding of why we need to speak and pray and speak audibly what we believe God wants us to seek him on. Atoms make up molecules. Molecules make up cells. Cells make up, you know, who we are, the wood from the tree, everything that exists, all from atoms. And for a long period of time, up until our generation, literally, they thought that the atom was the smallest building block of the makeup of what we know to be creation and life. But by accelerating the atoms and splitting them, they found out that atoms are made up of something. Okay? They're made up of smaller particles. And they've come up with a name for it. And the smaller particles, they call them quarks, like a cork in a bottle, only spelled with a Q, okay? And what they discovered is that there's three quarks that make up an atom. And they've actually discovered a little bit more in the whole process, but just the building block point is very, very profound, I believe. They found out that quarks make up the atom, and that quarks are the essential foundational building block of life as we know it, of all creation. You following me? Okay. They found out that quarks that make up an atom, that there's three quarks come together to make up the atom. Each quark is the same in essence and power, but they each contribute in a different office to the makeup of the atom. And the quarks are sound waves, three distinct sound waves. Are you following me? Okay. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tie it with Genesis 1, with Mark 11, John 6:63, this whole concept, it fits hand in hand with the idea that what we know from Scripture, that God spoke life into existence. And I just see that as it's profound, and I take this as an enhancing emphasis of the reality that when we pray and we speak as believers with the authority of who we are in Christ, we are speaking the quirks that manifest the existence of what God is willing as we learn of his will. So again, I'm just touching on this subject, okay? So now I'm going to shift gears a little bit. And here's something else that I recently just seen for the first time myself in the Word. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and it's repeated in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And it's been taught in Christianity as a whole, and the religious aspect is unfortunately a rote prayer. But when you study it and really begin to see what Jesus is doing, he gave the Lord's Prayer as an outline of how to pray. Okay? And essentially, we acknowledge the Father and who he is in his holiness. We enter into his presence in the pattern of the doctrine of approach to God in praise and with thanksgiving, seeking, asking for his will, and then we speak. And one of the things that's spoken in the Lord's Prayer, it says, if we were to rehearse it, but think about the outline, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now what's being said here is Jesus is saying, we are to pray that the will of God, as it is now where the Father is in heaven, that the will of God be done, be manifest on earth. Thy kingdom come. Now Jesus said that in teaching his disciples, that the kingdom is within us. The kingdom is within us. And one of the first scriptures that I learned, now, and you go further in Matthew 6, and it says this verse that we all learn in Sunday school if you've been around for a while, okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know this, but just take it as fresh tonight. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, all through the years, when I think of the kingdom, I always question, what is the kingdom? You know, how do I define the kingdom? What do you mean seek the kingdom first? And, you know, okay, seek the kingdom first. Well, I gotta go to church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves today. That's seeking the kingdom. I gotta go soul winning. That's seeking the kingdom. Adding to and building the kingdom. I gotta be faithful in giving and in the tithes and the offering, seeking the kingdom. I can come up with this whole list of what seeking, having right priorities are to seek the kingdom of God first. But I never fully saw it in a way that I've seen it here just a few weeks ago. Because the word kingdom is defined, when you look at the word kingdom, it's defined as the king's dominion or the king's dominion or domain, okay? So we are to seek literally, and who's our king? King Jesus. And we are to seek the king's dominion. And then I got studying that, looking at and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I got looking at the definitions and what is in the makeup of righteousness and what's being spoken of in that term. And there's a lot to it. But one of the things that's brought out that I've never seen before is there in Matthew 6:33, where it says the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The word righteousness, it can be defined and applied in this way. The administration of the justice of God. The righteousness that's being alluded to there is the literal administration of the justice of God that was carried out by Jesus Christ, our King. And so Now I'm bringing you around into an aspect of the doctrine of our authority as believers and our responsibility that goes with that. As we learn the knowledge of the word and the faith that's released and what our position is and what we have as an inheritance in terms of who we are in Christ and the authority that we have and how God wants to use us to release and manifest as we speak and act and bring in the kingdom. We literally administer the justice of Jesus Christ by dictating and bring in the aspects of the justice of what Jesus Christ has done. And so when it comes to healing, how I got into that is by studying what Jesus has done for us. And now I'm going to jump to, remember, I'm just touching the icebergs, okay? But it fits, it correlates. Galatians chapter 3. It says there that Jesus has redeemed us from the curses of the law, the curse of the law. And that he became the curse and was hung on the tree. And it goes on to say, curses is that every man hangs on a tree. And Jesus has literally redeemed us from the curses of the law. Now, it's referring to not just the law of Moses, but it's referring to the law of sin and death going back to the fallen garden. And it's profound when you begin to get a handle on this. Because you got to bring this scripture in because this fits and ties as well. Romans 8:1. Now listen carefully and think about it with me. Like Robbie Zacharias, the pastor brought this out recently, let my people think. This is his ministry, okay? But Romans 8:1 says what? There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. And then it goes on to say this, because through the law of the liberty of spirit of life, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to repeat that. Romans 8:1, through the law of the spirit of the liberty of life, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Romans goes on in Romans chapter 8:7-8, both deal with it in their context. And this term comes out that we should, I think, really look at and begin to really consider. It says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Okay, you following this? To be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life. And literally, when it comes to kind of bring this all together, and this revelation for understanding when it comes to the ministry of healing, as we exercise it in our authority as believer priests, as children of God, is going back to the administration of Jesus Christ's righteousness and bringing in the king's dominion, literally we have, if you will, power of attorney to do so. Okay? We have a power of attorney to do so. And what Jesus has freed us from in this in the dispensation as grace has been ushered in is the curses of the law. So if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you see there God lists through Moses under the law, he defines all the blessings for walking in obedience to the law. And then he goes in and he defines all the curses for walking in disobedience to the law. And the curses are much longer than the blessings. Okay? Yeah. And the curses, when it comes to health, healing, finance, any one of these, and other issues as well, the curses are all tied to and go beyond the definition of the law. He speaks of the diseases there in Deuteronomy 28, and he starts out as referring to them as the curses that of the diseases that were the people of Egypt when you come out were brought out of Egypt. But then it goes on to say, and all the other diseases in all the world and sicknesses. Okay? But the beauty is that Jesus Christ at Calvary paid for it, carried out and fulfilled the law, met the just requirements of God and the justice of God, and has set us free and redeemed us from the curses. Okay? And so when it, and I'm going to just, I'm just touching on this because it really, I could spend hours on it, but it's established in my heart, and I'm just preaching what I believe the Holy Spirit showed me. Okay? The bottom line is this. The devil and the demons manifest and impose the curses and gets away with it when we don't have the knowledge of God to deal with it. And he takes advantage of our lack of knowledge. And Hosea put it this way, Isaiah twice in the early passages of Isaiah, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And the knowledge that's being imparted to us and the emphasis and the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the season that we're going through, that I know he's doing with me, is that when it comes right down to it, the sicknesses, the diseases, the things that we experience in our bodies have absolutely, in the eyes and the justice of the courts of God and in this life now, have no right to be exercised therein. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when it comes right down, blindness is listed in Deuteronomy 28. Jesus would have said, when he came into the temple and read from Isaiah 28, one of the things he says is that he came to restore sight to the blind. Okay? To set the captives free, to preach the gospel to the poor. And again, just touching on it. And the bottom line, again, is when you begin to learn what Jesus has done for us, we can speak and believe and come against these things that come against us. Okay? Now, bear with me just a couple of minutes. I believe it's time to close. But, and again, I'm just touching on this. But I just heard this. I'm sure you've heard it before. The medical field has said, and they told the position, and nurses, Donna Alford confirmed this for me, in nursing school, this is one of the first things they drill into your head. It's a premise. 95% of the diseases and the illnesses and the sicknesses that we that overtake us and take a hold, 95% of them start in the mind in our thinking. Okay? The other 5% are tied to genetic bloodline passing down through our heritage in the genetic gene passing. And real short, but it's important to understand. Of that 5%, it goes like this. When you study it, disease, sickness, whatever it might be, you name it. I'm dealing with diabetes, so I'll focus on what I'm believing God for and what God has showed me. All right? Diabetes comes into the human body through wrong practice of, generally speaking, of eating wrong. Okay? So someplace in my ancestry, I've heard it like this, my grandfather and my great-grandmother, they all died of diabetes. And they were the first one to have it in our bloodlines. And then everybody down through the ages has had diabetes. And when you go to the doctors, they ask you, you know, have you had breast cancer in your heritage for women? Have you had diabetes? Have you had heart trouble? You follow me? Okay. That's that 5% that they're searching for. But it starts out from sin, the law of sin and death. Again, long story short. All right. They've also learned that if you introduce a practice into your physical body and it remains chronic for a period of time, that it reprograms your DNA makeup, and that DNA is then genetically passed on to the next generation. We call it a generational curse, okay, or a bloodline curse. And you know what? Doesn't have any right to be there legally. And you know what? As believers, born-again believers, we have the authority and the right, if we understand the Word of God, to stop it and to rid it from our own personal lives and our families. And I'll step into this, okay? My body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Christ within you. Okay? And I know I'm over time, so I'm going to stop. This is a series. All right? But I put this all out there because God wants us to understand that His nature is a nature of healing. And He wants to manifest miracles of healing, deliverance, and go down the line. Remember, if you were here several messages back, I defined shalom, the peace of Jesus Christ. Okay, He was chastised for our peace at Calvary. It's spoken of in Isaiah 53. That word peace is tied to the word shalom. Shalom is tied to the New Testament word in the Greek for peace, and you find it again in John 14. My peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves, so leave I. And the word peace essentially is shalom, and shalom is defined as wholeness, health, preservation, prosperity, all the promises of God, long life, rejuvenation, like a return of the youth in our health and healing. And going back to Proverbs 4:20, that the words of God are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. This is where the Holy Spirit is leading me, and I believe the ministry, and I believe that God is, that I have a vision. I believe the day is going to come when I'm going to jump up in this pulpit when Pastor Moore is here, and I'm going to read a Bible without any help. Okay? You believe that with me? I believe that we're going to speak, and Paul Moore and Bill Fitch will get up and walk. Okay? Because I believe that the things that they're suffering, that the enemy doesn't have the legal, juristical right, I didn't pronounce it right, okay, to be infecting them in that way. Amen. I believe God wants us to be healthy as a body. I believe that Psalm 105, verse 27, when they were drawn out of Egypt, they were feasting on the lamb in the night of the Passover, and not one feeble come out of that land. And on the whole multitude that come out. Why? Because they were feasting on the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb. And I know I'm well over time. So, Father, I pray and just ask that You would just help us to catch what You really want to manifest and impart through this emphasis and focus. Lord Jesus, You are our healer. You spoke through Malachi and closed the Old Testament with the prophecy that You would arise with healing in Your wings. And Lord Jesus, we want to be recipients of that healing, Father, power, the dunamis power, the virtue love that healed the woman with the issue of blood, the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. It's radical in some ways, but it's Your word, and we ask for it. And Father, if there's one tonight here that needs a touch from Your Spirit, the touch of healing, we pray for that manifestation and touch right now. And we pray it and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.